Emory University Podcasts.
Everybody needs to be extremely careful of what they say online because, you know, once you say it, it can never be taken back.
I'm Adele Fegley, and you're listening to Healthier You, a podcast made by students at Emory University Center for the Study of Human Health. Every week, we bring you personal stories and expert insights into our generation's biggest health questions. On today's episode, autism and sex ed. I started off this process wanting to explore the stigma disabled people face when it comes to sex, intimacy, and sexual education. I wanted to begin at the root of my interest in this topic, my family.
I really think that, you know, mom and dad, they've really put us in a good spot in our life. And, you know, they're always going to be our parents. So I really think that mom and dad, you know, they're always going to have new things to teach us. So we're not done learning.
That was my 24-year-old brother, Aiden, when I interviewed him. He was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder at 3 years old. My brother currently lives in Boston with my parents, but has been to independent living programs from the ages 19 to 23. Our mother, Michelle, has largely been in charge of his education, including his sex ed, which has led to much embarrassment on his end. When Aiden was 16 years old, he had his first public school sex ed class. Quite the opposite of myself, he was very embarrassed.
There was mostly boys in that class, but there were some girls. But yeah, when we got into that class and when the topic came up, I just remembered that all the boys in the class, we basically sat in the back because we were the most embarrassed.
Knowing Aiden, this is not shocking. I can see his face turn bright red as he speaks. Despite his embarrassment, he did actually learn some important things in public school sex ed.
In like the sexual education classes, like we didn't just talk about the male reproductive system and the female reproductive system, but we also had a topic of like consent. I remember this very clearly where they emphasized this very extremely clearly to us that this was like extremely like important, that we definitely needed to be aware of this because, you know, when you inside the United States, when you become a certain age, that's when the laws come into play. And that's when, you know, that's when you become an adult. And that's when you need to be extremely careful of, you know, certain things.
Initially, I wasn't fazed because this is how I've always grown up. My brother parrots most things my parents tell him, and this just so happened to be one of them. But then it hit me. He could go to jail if he wasn't careful, and that's terrifying. As one human to another, but more importantly, from a younger sister to her older brother. After speaking with our mom, I found out why she hammered this in so hard.
Like, I remember attending a webinar, this is years ago, about how important it is when people have any like a disability for straight boys, young men, how important it is to teach them about the age of consent and about online pornography. Like it was something I hadn't really thought about. So I was kind of freaked out about how many young men who are on the spectrum somewhere have like been arrested.
Michelle, my mom, is a high school English teacher and served as my brother's primary teacher for over 8 years. I could feel the worry she has for her son, my brother. At the end of the day, we just want everyone to be safe and healthy. So how do we do that?
We have solutions that would really help support people who are neurodiverse and having the intimate relationships that they want. And, you know, that's a matter of human dignity, right?
That was Dr. Lori Sperry, a professor at Yale University and a forensic psychologist who specializes in preventing people with ASD from being incarcerated for sex crimes. She runs a free program at Behavior Change University that provides people with ASD information and skill sets to stay safe online.
Here's the issue. When I talk to people with autism who have come in contact with the juvenile or criminal justice system, if I had a dollar for every time somebody with autism said, I learned the rules by breaking them, or I found out that was illegal after I got arrested, that would be a lot of money. It's inconceivable to me that people with autism are either excluded from sexuality education, and that might be a school's decision, that might be a parental decision, or the information that they're provided was developed for the neurotypical population.
This should be a simple fix, right? Just make sex education better. Well, it turns out it's not so simple. Sexual education for all is not required in most states in the U.S., only 5 to be exact. At the end, I asked my mom, what is one question you'd like me to ask Dr. Sperry?
Here's a question I would have. Most students on the spectrum don't have access to a special school, what's called a therapeutic school, where they have these classes for parents and for students. So how can we get the same information out to public high schools where the majority of kids who have disabilities are, and to parents?
This is an important question because it addresses the accessibility of sexual education for disabled people. This would ensure that everyone has access to the correct information presented in an appropriate way.
It's not one thing. It's a variety of things because it's a multifactorial problem that is going to require multifactorial solutions. In schools, folks need to be providing sexuality education that is specifically designed to address the social challenges that accompany autism and neurodiversity. And we need to make sure that that's available both to the teens and young adults, as well as their parents. Because sometimes people think, well, if we don't talk about it, they won't think about it. Well, that's a myth. And that's not accurate.
Dr. Sperry says it's crucial to get neurodiverse people the education they need, as well as strong social safety nets. We should all be invested in ensuring equal access to sex ed. It might just save someone you care about. Thanks for listening to Healthier You from the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory University. If you like what you heard, subscribe to the show in your podcast app and make sure to leave us a rating or a review. This episode was reported and produced by me, Adele Fegley. Our theme music is by Tim Taj. A special thanks to Dr. Lori Sperry, Michelle Fegley, Aiden Fegley, and Catherine McLaughlin. If you'd like to hear more about Dr. Sperry's work and about how you can get involved, check out our show notes for links to her website. You can find links to all the studies and resources we mentioned in our show notes or on our website, exploringhealth.org.